Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. And if you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener Podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Now let's get growing. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. Today, I am just thrilled to introduce a guest from across the Atlantic Ocean, from the United Kingdom. Today, to talk to us is Richard Lewis, who has developed a really cool app called Veg Plotter that I think you're all going to be excited about, because I had another guest on recently who talked about like an app that you could use, and his show has been downloaded a ton of times, I see already. So I think you're really going to like this app that's a little bit different. Like I said, it's called Veg Plotter. So from the United Kingdom, welcome Richard Lewis.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to have a guest from international across the water. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then you can tell us about the Veg Plotter.
Okay, so I live in the UK. I'm in the sort of middle of the UK in a place called Rugby, which is where the game of rugby came from. We moved here about 10 years ago, and a few years later, I decided that I wanted to get an allotment, which here in the UK you get, it's like community gardens over there, I believe. So I've had an allotment for about 3 years, and I'm still struggling to get it in order because they're quite large. I don't know, it's about
like
30 meters by, well, it's about 30 meters by 20 meters, I would say. So I don't know what
large.
That is in feet, I'm afraid.
Well, a yard is almost a meter, so a yard's about 3 feet. So it's about 30
yeah.
yards or by 30 or 20, 30
yeah.
yards by 20 yards is still pretty big.
Yeah. So it's pretty big, and I've only sort of managed to turn over the soil on about a third of it so far. So that's all I'm working. The rest is lawn. But yeah, that's what started me with gardening. Before that, my parents did a lot of gardening, and we used to have chickens when I was a kid. And that's what really wanted me get me onto the allotment. But because I had this allotment, I was struggling to manage it. I wanted something to help me, and that's why I built the Veg Plotter app, to really just help me schedule my planting year.
Okay, so explain to listeners, what is the Veg Plotter app? What does it do, and how does it work?
So essentially, it's a website that works on your mobile or tablet or on a desktop PC, whether that's PC or Mac. And it allows you to plan out your vegetable gardens. So you can map out where your beds are going to be. You can map out where your sheds and greenhouses are and water butts and cold frames. But then on a month-by-month basis, you can plan what you're going to plant. So the unique thing about Veg Plotter is it will show you what's in the ground at any one time. So as you move through the months, you can see where there are gaps. So where you might need to put a cover crop in, or where you could put some quick crops like radish or lettuce to fill the gaps and make the best use of your land.
Nice. So you can use it on a desktop. You can use it on your mobile. So what
That's
do?
Right.
You have to like enter what you're just kind of typing,
so, yeah,
what you're planning, or do you
no,
do it from
you,
catalogs?
You basically
or?
Just no. So you'll need to measure out your garden, and what we suggest you do is, you know, use a bamboo cane that you measure later, and you just measure the number of bamboo canes, or if you've got a really long tape measure, depending on what size your garden is, you can make up a way of measuring it. Once you've got the measurement of where you want your beds and such things, you simply drag. When you open the app, you create a new plot. Or garden, and that's basically just a blank canvas where you can drag on beds, vegetable beds, or sheds, and then you drag out the corners of those bits until they're the right size, or you can simply type in the measurements and it'll make them the right size. Then you move them into position, and once you've done your beds, then you can do your same with the plants. So in one particular month, say you move to March or April, when there's a lot of planting going on, you can move to those months, and then you can drag on the plants that you want to plant, like a row of beetroot. You can just quickly, from the menu on the right, you drag it onto your plot, put it where you want it to go, drop it down. And then what Veg Plotter does is it works out a schedule for that plant, so that it'll tell you when you should, if you're planting it out, then it'll tell you when a couple of months prior you need to have sown the seed in your greenhouse or on your windowsill. And it'll also tell you when you should expect to harvest those crops. And then as you move through the months further, it will take those plots out of the garden to show you that there's space to plant something else, if your season allows.
Nice. You know, I think listeners might think like, oh man, when am I going to have time to do this? Or, you know, I don't need to do this because I'm out there. But you know what this is going to do for people? Like, to me, what I see as the biggest benefit is this is going to be your record keeping. And this is really going to help you as the years go by, figure out, you know, what, you know, when did I plant that? When did I start that? Should I start it earlier? Should I start it later? Should I, you know, what should I put? Like, I, you know, a lot of people talk about data is the key to success. And I think this is really going to help people, you know, understand, you know, give you that data. I mean, I have been known to be a data junkie at school before and just like, I really like to analyze things like that. But, I think everybody
Also show you when you, so say you planted cabbages or any other brassicas like broccoli or Brussels sprouts, then they shouldn't really go in the ground the same the season afterwards or even a couple of seasons afterwards. So VegPlotter will tell you when, if you drag on a cabbage and previously 3 years prior you had cabbages, it'll show you that just to warn you that you probably shouldn't plant them there. So it does keep an accurate record of what you've planted, to let you know maybe where you shouldn't plant.
Nice, yeah. I think I can see the benefits, and just also it's fun to like look at it the way the graphs are laid out and the way you can. I love the way it's easy to drop and drag it, and I just think it's going to be super. So do you want to tell us about your very first gardening experience, like who you were with? You were saying that you had chickens, your dad had chickens, is that you were with your family, like where, and like Rugby, where did
I didn't grow up in Rugby. I grew up right on the south coast, in the southwest part of England. So there's a two counties called Devon and Cornwall. I grew up in Devon, right on the south coast, in a place called Totnes, which is near Torquay, which they call is the English Riviera, which is because they have palm trees and such, because it's quite warm down there because it's on the south coast and it's by the sea. It stays quite warm. You don't get quite so many frosts. But yeah, I grew up in a town called Totnes, and my parents had quite a big garden at the back, and we had a little vegetable patch. It was a fairly small vegetable patch. You could only have a couple of rows of lettuce and maybe the odd few cabbage, but it was enough to get us interested. And the best thing was we had chickens, which were lovely. You know, they used to roam around the garden and they'd chase the cat. And I really did enjoy having chickens.
Cool. I like my chickens too. They're fun. So how did you learn how to garden organically? Were your parents organic? Was that it?
No, my learning how to garden organic is basically just me being frugal, I'd say. Because since I've taken on, I didn't really grow organically until I started my allotment. My parents didn't. But since I've had the allotment, I think one of the things about growing organic is if you buy organic food in the shops, it's more expensive. Whereas if you garden organically, it's cheaper because you don't need to buy all the chemicals. You don't need to buy all the extra things. And it's the sort of gardening hacks, I would say, that are all organic, like your beer traps for catching your slugs and your netting for stopping things getting your crops. So, that's why just one of the things. People on allotments don't tend to use chemicals. They don't tend to, and they all tend to garden organically. And the advice you get is always an organic answer when you talk to your neighbors on allotments.
Nice. So how does that work? Do you have to pay for that, or does the government supply it, or how do allotments work over there?
There's different models. So our allotments, there's probably about 50 sites for 50 allotments on our site, and it's owned by a local charity. So there was a local wealthy gentleman who when he died, left a load of land in trust to a charity, and they, on the proviso that they made it available for to local people, and since that day, and we, you know, this is hundreds of years back, they have been allotments on that site, and I pay, I think the rents have gone up, but it's £16 a year, so you know, something like $25, I'd guess.
Wow, a year, that's a good deal.
For that size of, yeah, it's a really good deal. There are others in the UK where the council-run ones where you'd pay £100, but and that tends to be a more on the expensive side for the whole year. So allotments are a good way to start growing and start getting into gardening if you don't have a space at home, or if you, you know, often you, your family don't really want a vegetable garden. They much prefer lawn, especially if you've got kids and they want to kick a football about or be able to run around. So they're a good way of just having some land that you can grow crops.
Now, how far is it from your house?
I could walk it in about 10 minutes, but to drive it's a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us about something that grew well this year.
Well, we're still early in the season, so things are only just started growing.
Oh, what about last year?
Last year, what grew best last year? Now, that is a good question. I would say my butternut squashes. They were good last year. And they're always a good one because they, I planted loads because I really wanted to use them as a cover crop to kind of help keep the weeds down. And I got lots of butternut squashes of that, and I really like them in soups.
So how does that work? Use them as a cover crop to keep weeds down?
Yeah, well, because I've got a fairly large allotment, and I wasn't planning to plant anything in the ground, whilst I just sort of caught up with what I needed to do, I thought what I could do was just plant some butternut squash because the leaves are quite big, and they cover a lot of ground, that they would just cover over the ground, so any of the smaller weeds, you know, any of the self-seeded annuals wouldn't come up or would struggle to grow through the butternut squash plant.
And did that work?
I think so, yeah. It worked quite well. They do take up a lot of ground, especially the sort of climbing or vine-based ones. If you get the sort of bush ones, then probably not. But if you get the trailing ones, then they do. You can just sort of train them round the actual vegetable bed, and they cover up quite a lot of, or they shade the bed so that the seeds don't tend to grow so much, or they're certainly not as strong, and you can quickly whip through them with a hoe, no problem.
Cool. I think listeners are going to love that. All right. So is there something you're excited to try this year that's different or new? You're kind of still starting, so.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to do exactly the same this year because it works so well. What am I thinking of doing new? I have this long-term view to get to grow grapevines, but I don't think I'm there yet. I've also got, I'm excited about, I put an apple tree in last year, the year before that. And this is the first year where I'm going to let it fruit, because previous years I've taken the fruit off just to let it establish. Because it was fairly pot brown when I took it out of its pot, so last year I just diligently watered it and took the fruit off so that it didn't have to put energy into the fruit. So this year is going to be the first time I get to see what it tastes like, and I'm quite excited about that.
Wow. All right, I think listeners are gonna like that tip. Nobody said that before that I can remember. And that's a good tip,
the fruit off. No, yeah. Yeah, it just to let it establish. Well, especially when because it was in a pot before. When we bought it in the shop, it was in a pot, and it wasn't pot bound as strictly speaking. But it always takes, tree roots tend to grow a little bit slower, especially being in a pot for a while. So just while it gets established, I thought I'd let it focus on its roots and its growth rather than the fruit.
Nice. Okay. Well, cool. I can't wait to hear how the apples turned out. So tell us about something that didn't quite go the way you were expecting last season. Was there something you had some challenges with?
Oh, that's another one. I've had a challenge this week, this season.
Yeah, or this year. That works perfect.
So I've planted two rows of beetroot and two rows of chard. And I don't normally cover those, but this year, I don't know whether it's pigeons or it's magpies have completely destroyed the crop. So I was there. I went onto the plot on a Saturday and there were four nice rows of seedlings all popping up and looking wonderful. And I was getting excited about that. You know, it's the start of the season. It was the first thing to come up. And then I went there on the Sunday and they were all gone, completely disappeared.
Oh,
and as you can imagine, I was a little bit angry. And I'm sure there was a pigeon up in the tree, just sort of flying around, and magpies in the distance, just cackling. I thought they were laughing at me.
Aww. So is that why you were saying you were going to try to get some netting maybe in the future to cover that?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I normally net, but it's my brassicas I would net. I've never had a problem with the beets, so chard and beetroot. The birds have never really caused a problem with those, nor the slugs. But this year, for some reason, maybe it's because they haven't got any other brassicas to take. They've had a go at the beets.
Did you ask? Did any of your the other people in your allotment have a problem?
No, my neighbors have some beetroot in the ground, and they were fine. We were chatting, the day it happened, and they said no, theirs is fine, but they were going to cover theirs straight away.
Oh, All right. Do you have an activity that's your least favorite activity? Is there something you don't like to do that you have to force yourself to do out there?
Yeah, I hate mowing. I can't stand it. Because my allotment is so large, I have to keep some of it as grass, as lawn. It's the easiest way to keep the weeds down because you can just mow it. So as it's grass. But when I go down to the allotment, I want to go and plant things. I want to go and harvest things. I quite like hoeing. It's a nice, gentle activity. I feel like I'm making progress, whereas mowing just feels like I'm wasting time. And I've only got a little push mower. What do you call it? A hand mower. Mm-hmm. It's not a powered one. It's one that's you just push along and the wheels drive the rotors. Mm-hmm. So it takes me a while. It can get me about an hour to do the full plot. And I just feel like, I've only got so much time on the allotment and I wish I could spend some more. And just mowing is just grates with me just that I have to do that.
So... how does that work? Do you have to bring all your own tools? Do other people have mowers there? Or how does that,
no,
do they
you
have
can...
a place where you can rent one? Or
no, you, well, you could rent one if you wanted to, but not from the allotment site. You'd have to use a local tool hire, but you can put whatever you like on your plot, really. So I've got a shed, I've got compost bins, I've got cold frames, and eventually I'd like to put a greenhouse on there. But yeah, so all my kit is locked in my shed, although most of the time it's not locked up, because that's why I use older tools so that they don't get stolen. So, rather I wouldn't keep a petrol lawnmower in there because it would just get stolen. But the push mower, no one really wants one. It's an old rusty one, but it does the job.
Okay. So is your favorite activity you said was hoeing?
Not my favorite, but I don't mind hoeing. It's kind of relaxing of an evening. If you get, if I get time after work, I'll just quickly pop down for, half an hour, and the birds are sort of tweeting. It's nice and peaceful. There's no one really about, and you just stood there hoeing. It's a nice sort of relaxing chance to unwind after a busy day at work.
So what is your favorite activity then?
Good question. I think my favorite activity on the allotment is sitting there having a cup of tea. Is that allowed?
That is absolutely allowed. A lot of people say that. Just going down to the garden, for me and Mike, it would be drinking coffee and just looking around and enjoying everything and kind of saying, this is what we need to do and this is working good.
Yeah,
just enjoying being
out
there, listening to the birds.
Exactly that. That's my favorite activity. It's the, especially when I've dug a bed out, I've dug over the soil. I feel like I've done some work. Sit down, have a cup of tea. That's my favorite time.
Yeah. So what's the best gardening advice you have ever received?
Now, this one, I would say the term is little and often, but I would say just do a little bit each day or a little bit as often as you can, because that way you'll see over time, you'll see the most progress. If you try and do everything at once, then you'll hate it because your bones hurt, your muscles hurt afterwards. But if you do it in bite-sized chunks, then you will you'll start to see progress.
I think that is awesome advice. I think you really hit the nail on the head there. And it's so true, just a little bit. Like I find myself, I've been really trying to go to our garden more than usual, especially since I've started the podcast. I've been more inspired. And I think you're right. Like just a little 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there can make a big difference.
Exactly.
And I like the part about it.
Especially
then you don't
with
get
the hoe. If you quickly go down for 20 minutes, pick up the hoe, and you can have hoed a bed and a half in that time, and then that's done. There's no weeds in that bed. And the next day you come and you do the same, you hoe that, and you know, within a couple of days you've done the whole site. Admittedly, a week later you probably need to start again, but at least your site's under control.
Yeah, but you'd have to start again anyway if you did the whole thing in one day.
Exactly,
and I really
like
the way you pointed out, then you don't get quite so sore. It's true. Because I find that if I spend...
You enjoy it next time and you want to go back because you're not feeling like your body's dying because your muscles hurt.
Exactly. And you're not so totally overwhelmed and like, oh my gosh, it's going to take me hours. Like, oh, just my little 15 minutes today.
I'm just going to do, like, I'm just going to dig over a meter, that one, then you can stick to that.
Yeah. What's your favorite tool that you like to use? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
It probably would be a hoe, to be honest, because you can, the thing I found, I've had to take over this allotment, and a lot of my time is creating new beds. Mm-hmm. And the hoe is probably the most useful, because you can use the hoe to take up the turf. You can use the hoe to, so even if you don't dig over the soil, the hoe will help you keep the weeds down, and it'll help you. One of the best tips I heard was if you need to prepare a seed bed, rather than using a rake, use a hoe, because it will break up the soil much better than a rake. A rake just moves the clods around, whereas a hoe you can use to bash the clods, or you can, if just skimming over the top creates a much better tilth than a rake would, obviously depending on what your soil structure is, but certainly from the soil we have, it's much better.
Nice. What's your favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
I'm a celiac, so I can't have any sort of bread or wheat or anything like that, so I love potatoes. Which is a good job, to be honest, as I'm a celiac. So I really love potatoes. So just a jacket potato is probably my favorite meal at the moment. But one of the other ones I would say is courgette or zucchini done in garlic. If you just fry it in a pan with butter and garlic, it's lovely.
What did you say the first one was? Potato? Did you
Jacket potato.
Jacket potato? What's that?
It's like just a potato, you know, a potato put in the oven, and then you have it with skin and all. You basically slice, do a cross on the top, squeeze it, put butter in, cheese, what we call baked beans. I don't know whether you call them beans. It's lovely.
Baked beans, in America are kind of like pinto or kidney beans in like a tomato pasty sauce.
That's it. Yeah, that's exactly that.
Oh, interesting. You know, okay. I'm glad I asked that question. That sounds good.
So do you not call it jack potatoes then? What would you call that? Baked potato?
Well, a baked potato would just be like a potato baked in the oven. You make the crust and put
exactly
the butter.
That. So a jacket potato to us is a baked potato.
Cool. All right. And I love zucchini, sauteed zucchini, fried in garlic and stuff. How about a favorite internet resource for you? Would that be your veg potter app?
I wasn't going to go there, but obviously I would recommend that to others. Favorite resource, I would say the RHS in the UK, which is the Royal Horticultural Society. They have a great website where you can put in a plant and you will find all the information you need about that plant, how to grow it, when to grow it, especially in the UK. And I think you guys have similar things,
Yeah, like our
extensions.
extension service.
Yeah. So basically, RHS is like our extension service, and it's really useful a resource to use. And being a member of the RHS, you get lots of things through the post and magazines and stuff that are really useful. So that I would say is a good one.
Okay. I forgot what I was going to say. Something about your app. I've been reading. I just got Curtis Stone's book, The Urban Farmer. I don't know if you've read
Yeah.
that or heard of that.
No, not
And
yet.
I was just reading the first chapter yesterday because it came in at the library. And he, like, I think a lot of what your app would do would be applicable to what he's talking about, because he's talking a lot about how people can, the shift from the suburbs and like using
Yeah.
that land in the suburbs and helping people make those connections. And I really think your app would fit well with his book and his plans and how to
Yeah,
figure out, because he talks
that's
a
the
lot
kind of
about figuring
intention.
out what grows well in your area and what you would maybe
Yeah.
get from a local CSA or a farmer's market and what you would grow. And I think your app would be able to help people make those decisions a little quicker and a little
Yes.
easier and a little more solidly, like based on actual fact more than what you think. Like one thing as
Yeah.
a teacher, we often found when we looked at the data was that we might think something about a student, we might think they're doing one thing, but when you actually looked at their data and kind of their test scores and their assessments and things, it wasn't really the case. And so it was important. And I think that your app is going to help people that way too. Like it's going to give you the hard numbers and you would know
Yeah,
what's really
it tells you,
working.
so it'll tell you where you so you can put in any location around the world, and the plants in there are UK based, but that's changing. We're adding much more US and Australian based plants into the mix, and it will predict based on your local weather when you're likely to plant that, when that means you will harvest it. So yeah, it really is useful for those people who not really sure what they're doing. We can certainly start you off, and as you learn, you'll grow stuff and you'll find it doesn't work or whatever. You can put those that information back into VegPlotter so that next time you come round, you don't have to remember.
And especially if somebody's thinking about growing for market, because I've been noticing, like, I kind of been going through and looking at my most downloaded episodes and where people are looking on my website, because I finally figured out Google Analytics. I'm kind of getting the hang of it, and what
Yeah.
pages have been viewed the most. And it looks like people are really looking at things that explain the business side of things. So I'm thinking quite a few of my listeners maybe are the kind of people who want to eventually grow for a farmer's market and grow for a
Yeah.
CSA share. And so I think this is really going to be applicable to those people, as well as, I mean, I think it's really beneficial to your home gardener too, because, a lot of gardening can be frustrating if you plant things and things don't go. It's kind of funny because I'm working at this restaurant, this golf course this summer in the clubhouse. And so I talk to the cooks a lot. And this one cook there, he's kind of funny because he's all excited to garden and he's putting these things in and he's doing stuff. And I've been bringing some garden books. And yesterday he was talking about, yeah, I got all my melons planted. And I'm like, are you sure about this? Putting melons in the ground in Montana in May. And, and he's like, well, I'm just going with the attitude. If it grows, it grows. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I just kind of laughing and I'm like, okay, well, you
Yeah,
should probably
you
have
kind of got to
some.
let them fail, haven't you, really? Because then they'll enjoy the process.
Yeah, so I think it's going to help a lot of people. How about a favorite reading material? Like, is there a book or magazine or a blog or something that you really like to go to?
I there's so many blogs I read. I've been doing this for a while. Actually, I know what I'll do. The not a service that probably most people in the UK use, and you may be more familiar being from the US, but There's a service called Reddit where there's a Reddit gardening. I found that very useful. If you go on there, you can post a question, you can upvote other questions and answer it. It's like the sort of forum way of asking questions, but in a much more open way. And I found it very useful. It's helped me out a lot. I've been able to use it to kind of toy around with ideas about veg plotter, and people have commented. And so I would say go and take part in the Reddit gardening community.
Now, do you pay for that? That's what I never understand about
Reddit. Oh, it's free, yeah.
Okay.
It's free.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people talk about
like any
Reddit.
Other one. Yeah. It's not one that a lot of people think it's for the younger generation, but I found it very useful for gardening, especially allotment gardening.
I can't say I've spent a lot of time there. I actually was at Reddit quite a bit when I, like, before I started my gardening thing, I was into running.
Yeah.
And I wrote a blog about running, and I was there then. But I would think it's more older people, to me, it seemed like, than the newer kids are, like, more on Snapchat and things like that.
maybe you'll know better than me.
But they might be there too. Like I said, I have not been to Reddit since, like, I very first started getting into the online thing, like, 3-4 years ago. So now, do you have any business advice for people, especially being an IT guy, or it sounds like you're pretty business savvy? Like, if somebody was going to start getting into some kind of business, or somebody had an idea for an app or something that you, I don't know, just any kind of business advice.
I would say I spent a lot of time thinking about doing Veg Plotter before I actually started. And I would say just get on with it. Get started. Because the sooner you start, the sooner it will finish. It took me probably about 18 months to build Veg Plotter and to develop it. So that's a long time. The sooner you start, the sooner you finish, and the sooner you can start enjoying having it out there. Veg Plotter's free, so at the moment I don't make any money from it, but I really do enjoy the feedback I get and seeing people using it. And we have a lot of schools use it, so we'll receive lots of emails from class children who have planned out their vegetable gardens or their school garden in there, and I really do enjoy that part of it. So just get started is all I would say.
How did you find, like, a developer?
I developed it myself.
And did, like, the code and, like, all of that?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're struggling to find you're wondering how to find a developer, one thing I would say is have a look on Google, see how coding works. It's different to what you're used to, but once you get the hang of it, it's not that hard.
Okay.
I would, you know, and there's I, always I wasn't like a these, developer before.
Learn to code programs I hear about for kids and stuff. Yeah. And I think that's interesting. And there was I was at school one day, and one of the websites the kids could work on, because the kids all have Chromebooks in Eureka now, some kind of Chrome code.org. And they were learning
that's
how to
it.
Code. And it looked really simple. It was like the simplest version I had seen anywhere of how to code. All right.
Exactly.
Well, that's encouraging.
I think kids, a lot of people think kids are able to work out new technology, but I think the only reason they're able to work it out is because they know they're interested in it. So if you're interested in learning how to code, then you will, and you explore how it works, then I think you'll find you'll be able to do it yourself.
Uh-oh, I'm going to find a new addiction. Because, like, I've been wanting to build this app for the longest time. When I was teaching kindergarten and first grade, I found this awesome app for doing number, like teaching the kids to count to 100. But the problem with it was like in Korean or Japanese or Chinese. It was like in the language we couldn't understand. So the kids could do it, but they couldn't, like, we have to turn the volume off because it was like speaking in these weird. And I just wanted one that was like, it was so simple. And I still, like, it's gone altogether. I can't find that app at all anymore. And there's nothing close to it. And I swear, I mean, it was like, I had kids who had been trying to write their numbers for almost a year. Like, they started writing them midway to 100 in the beginning of kindergarten, and by the middle of first grade, they still weren't doing it. And 2 weeks after doing that app, they were easily writing their numbers to 100. And like, I just am so frustrated. So I might have to like go on there and try to see.
I would say give it a try. See, you know, there's plenty of tools out there that will help you and make it easier. So I don't think there's anything stopping you. If that's what you want to do, then go for it.
Okay. Yeah, because it was just such a simple app, and you know, that's something you're teaching the kids all the time, and I just wanted one that spoke in English. And now, like I said, that app's not even there, because there's other ones, but this one was really nice because it would do 10 numbers at a time, and it would just drop 10 numbers, and they just had to slide them in order, and then it would do, you know, 1 through 10, then 10 through 20, then 20 through 30 onto this big hundreds grid. Yeah. And there's like, now it's like the other ones, like it drops all 100 numbers and they got to pick out of that whole 100. Whereas when they were only picking out 10 at a time, it just works so much better. So before I ask our final question, like, is there anything I've forgotten to ask about the veg plotter that you want to say, or anything you want to tell listeners about it?
The only thing I would say is it's free. So if you do sound interested in something that will help you plan your vegetable garden and really take the load off and the complexity out of it, then give VegPlotter a try. There's no obligation. You just need to sign up, and I won't spam you with information. It really is there to help you. So give it a try.
Okay, I just have to ask. So then, you've done all that. Like, are you going to try to monetize it down the line? Like, what's your, like, you've put 2 years of your heart and soul into this, and like, or you just wanted it because you wanted it for yourself and you're just happy to share it?
Partly that. Eventually, if it depends how busy it gets. If a lot of people start using it, then I'm going to have to pay for it somehow. If it stays roughly at the same sort of level, you know, and we can grow a certain amount of users, for the time being, until I will need extra servers, but for now it's free. I don't ever intend to charge for it, but we might have to put some do some sort of affiliate schemes or something along those lines just to pay for the servers. But no, it's free. Enjoy it, and I hope it works for you.
Aw, that's so sweet. I love my guests. You guys are the best. All right, ready for the final question then?
Yep, go for it.
Okay, here we go. If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, Richard, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about, or project you'd like to see to put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
I would say getting the kids excited about gardening or growing their own, or the environment in general. I think the kids are the key. So like I say, we're doing a lot of work with schools to get kids gardening, and through our VegPlotter app, they can use that on their tablets or at their school computers and plan out their school garden. And it's really about getting them excited and getting them interested in gardening. So when they grow up, they take on their own allotments, they grow their own food, they, you know, they reduce the load on the transport network in, you know, moving leaves of salad around the country or around the world. I think that is the key, is getting them involved and excited.
Nice. Are you a millennial?
What's a millennial?
Somebody born, I think, from like 1980 to 2000 in there.
Yeah, so I was born in 1978.
Oh, well, close. See, and close, I still enough. Think there's something about those people that are between 30 and 40. People who are between 30 and 40 right now. Right? And you're 40?
Yeah. I know, I'm 30. Yeah, oh, golly. Yeah. That's, yeah, I'm 37, really think 38.
Sorry to call you on that right on the air, but I just really think there's something about the people between the ages of 30 and 40 right now who are just rocking this world and doing really environmentally, socially conscious things, and like developing an app that took you 2 years for free just to help people garden is really one of those things. So,
and I enjoyed the process. It's not as if I didn't get anything out of it. I learned a lot, and it certainly helped me in my career generally to learn this technology. So, don't think I didn't get anything out of it. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. So do you just have a little inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
I would. That's a tricky one.
I thought
I
you
would
would just say
say.
just start.
Yeah, I was
Like
going
you
to
were
say
saying
just
about the
start, but I
cold.
didn't really want to repeat myself. So, but yeah, that is essentially it. Just start it. You know, just dig a hole in the ground, or just take up the turf somewhere and your lawn on a little patch. Especially put some lettuce in. Lettuce is, you know, I think if you buy the stuff from shops, it's covered in all sorts of chemicals. If you buy the stuff in bags, if you plant some, you know, small cost lettuce or something like that, I think you'll be amazed how much you get and how much nicer it is.
I agree. And it's one of the easiest things to grow, which listeners should probably know because they know I'm growing it.
Exactly.
I
Yeah.
am like not the gardener. My husband's the gardener. But this year, somehow, I've been like, it's my lettuce that's about the only thing we've got growing. Mike's been so busy
Exactly.
working like crazy. He hasn't had time to do much. So,
It's so much easier. Homegrown lettuce is so much better than shop bought. They say this about tomatoes, and tomatoes I would agree with, but I'd also say with lettuce, and they're a lot easier to grow than
Yeah,
tomatoes
that's what I was
well,
gonna
certainly in
say.
the UK.
And it's just prolific. Like the more you cut it, the more it grows and the bushier it
Exactly,
gets and the
yeah.
more you get. And it lasts pretty long. I mean, sometimes when it gets hot, it'll bolt and you lose your lettuce over the summer. But I don't know, where I am, I can usually pretty much have lettuce from the spring until the fall. It'll go pretty good. So,
Exactly, that's what I'd say. It's good.
how do we connect with you if people, where do they find the veg plotter?
So, Veg Plotter is it's just vegplotter.com, or I also blog at a blog I have called theovergrownplot.com, or you can get me on Twitter at either veg-plotter or overgrownplot on Twitter. And Twitter is the place I'm most prolific, I'd say, or you know, spend most of my time on. But also, there's a Facebook page for Veg Plotter. If you just go to vegplotter.com, you'll be able to find all the sort of social media places, so Google Plus, Facebook, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, and I'll have all the links in the show notes. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad this worked
No, thank
out.
you. It's been
And
brilliant.
thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And it will link right to the show notes and all that we've talked about on today's show. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow local.